Friday morning. It is a getaway Friday, June the 30th, 2023. A real getaway, the last day of June 2023. Can you imagine that? 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into Over the Back Fence here on WGH Talk. Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself and somebody who used to be with us on the pastor's spot quite a bit is joining us in the studio today, so we're glad to have him back with us, Frank Robinson. By the way, this show every Friday morning can be heard at 9:15 a.m. until 10 a.m. live here on this station, or on Sunday morning, 8:15 until 9 a.m., Wednesday, Thursday afternoon, 3:15 until 4, or you can get it on the website, wwgh1071.com. Go to Program Archives. It's the first one under there. Or go to Facebook in the next 24 hours. Adam does a great job with this. You will see Pastor Whitaker's picture and a link to this episode. So catch it any way you can. Pastor Whitaker, what are we, 4 days away from Independence Day?
We sure are. Good morning, everyone. I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are a Bible-believing and teaching church. I just want to once again bring up Jeff's Bicycle Shop. You know, Jeff does such great things for kids and works on any kind of bike there is, and he sells bikes too, has wonderful bikes here. Whether you're a diehard bike enthusiast that's on the road racing, or whether you just want an electric bicycle because you don't want to pedal too hard. Anyway, he does a great job with that. He's a great person. And also, Mid-Ohio Insurance Solutions is a very helpful place also to take care of your insurance needs. Hey, it's great to be here today, and one of those days, we got the 4th coming up, and I think it snuck up. I think with all the cold, the weather that we had, just doesn't seem like, it seems like it should still be, okay, we're starting June 1st. We got a whole month of June to go, but no, June's over.
You know, since June 21st, the first day of summer, I believe we had one day, which was yesterday, with no rain. This summer. One day.
Isn't that amazing?
That's nuts. Now, some days haven't had a whole lot of rain, thank goodness, so maybe we shouldn't complain a whole lot. But one day with no rain and the smog from Canada is unreal. I know people with asthma are having a horrible time, and that's sad.
Yeah, it is. It was. I kind of felt like I lived in a foreign country yesterday, walking around. Everything being so, or Los Angeles, either one.
Yes,
that will be just as bad too. But you know the. One thing what are we going to talk about today besides 4th of July? I know one thing that we can talk about, Scott, and I've been trying to think, what am I going to bug Scott over the fence about today? What do I have to bring to the equation when I peek over the fence? And now this may seem like an odd subject, but I notice something every year. We have 4th of July at the park at Prospect, and it's always a huge event. It always has been. Lots of vendors' booth. Our church will have a booth there this year, and also Trail Life will be. We started the boys' organization, Trail Life. We'll be there. But a lot of vendors, and of course, the fire department cooks all the chicken, and we know that the Lions serve the chicken dinners there, and just a lot of neat stuff, and then fireworks at night. Just a really great time. Huge time for raffles, too. People love the raffles. I mean, they sell so many raffle tickets, and people pick up donations for those, and it's just a good day, a fun day, and people just come and go. There's no admission. But one thing that I noticed that I'd like to see a little bit better, and this may surprise you, I'm going to even bring this up, is the attire.
Oh, that's interesting.
Is the attire. Please wear clothes tomorrow. I mean, on the 4th of July. And the reason I say that is, you know, there's so many neat things you can wear and very stylish for the day. I mean, you can wear all kinds of red, white, and blue clothing. You can wear, there's t-shirts you can buy. For crying out loud, you can go to Menards and they have all kinds of patriotic t-shirts and stuff. And after the rebate, they're next to nothing. But you can pick this stuff up anywhere. But, you know, there always seems to be somebody strolling around to make a spectacle of themselves, and it's almost embarrassing. And for little kids, it sets such a bad example. I don't know where we've got into this today.
Well, that's an interesting thing because I'm not sure. Because as weather gets warmer, you do start to see this. I always say this is the time you find out who has tattoos and who doesn't. Because the less clothes people wear, you'll see it on their legs, you'll see it on their ankles, you'll see it on their upper arm, that sort of thing.
Well, today with Even at the public swimming pools, you know, teenage girls, young girls, older ladies, they're all wearing thong bikinis at the pool. Now, that's something, you used to go to Florida or something on the beach, and you say, ah, someone's, you know, thing, yeah, but in our public pools, kids walking around town like this on their way to the pool, wow. Well, where have we come to?
Well, and I've also found, just because of anatomy, that this clothing issue really does become more of a female problem.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because it's kind of one-sided, isn't it?
It really is, because a man can go without a shirt. Now, you might say, well, hey, you're a little underdressed here for the celebration, but nobody's going to really give that too much of a thought.
Well, you know, there's a reason behind that, and we brought this up in the last couple of weeks, that we're male or we're female, and we're very different. We're very, very different, and we're designed differently. Our genetic makeup is differently. Most men, I mean, you can never say everything 100%, but most men are wired to be visual people. Men are visual. They are attracted. That is where their attraction is to women. And it really doesn't matter whether you're a human being or even in the animal kingdom. You know, men are, they're visual. That's where procreation comes into. Well, and women aren't so visual, so they could care less what the guy's wearing.
Well, and that's an interesting thing, because it kind of ties into the theme that has underlied a lot of our conversations over the last 2 months about men and their in the beginning not being so honest in a relationship and putting on a little bit of a show financially to woo the girl. Now, one of the reasons that we've never talked about that actually happens is because, wow, that girl looks really nice. I would really like to be with that girl. Oh, she's my relationship. She's my whatever. Well, you got to do something to get there. The girl's got to like you for some reason, and you can't say, wow, it's the way you look. That ain't gonna work.
It was funny, you know. You talk to, and we all know this. We've watched teenage boys grow up, and we've been teenage boys. And they talk about teenage boys strutting around like a little banty rooster when there's a girl around.
Exactly.
And their whole demeanor changes.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, it's show-off time.
That's right. That's right.
But that's how it is in the animal world.
It
Look
is.
Look at your peacocks.
Yeah.
Look at your male ducks. They're beautiful.
Yeah, because they have to have something to attract the female, because she is not naturally attracted to the male in a physical way. Women are automatically, women attract men. It takes very little to make a man want to look at a woman. That's the way they're wired. And you know, something that I've seen people post this, and it really kind of bothers me, because they're not, either they don't understand, they don't care, or they're not thinking through it. They'll say, don't talk to me about what I'm wearing. Keep your filthy thoughts to yourself. And I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying this, that if you're wearing something to, promote or, what's the word I'm looking for?
Publicize, attract attention.
But to point to a certain part of your anatomy, you know that men are attracted to that, and you're doing that, they're going to look. It doesn't make them unnatural. It doesn't make them a sicko. It means that's what attracts men. So don't get upset when you see someone looking at you. Now, a decent man, hopefully, especially in older guys like we are, you know, you see something and you don't stare. You turn away from it. But I want to tell you, moms out there, you know, some of your girl daughters walking down the street, these teenage boys are, you're going to have a whole string of them following them. And is that what you really want, though?
You know, when we go back to square one with this, it's kind of fascinating when you think about this, because I do think about this sometimes. And you know what? People have to get in their relationships and all that some way, I guess. But really, when a guy sees a girl, because it still mostly is the guy's place who's asking the girl out the first time, when he sees her, what really does he know about her except how she looks?
Nothing.
Exactly. So you're
in how she carries herself.
Carries herself. Mm-hmm. So you are making your initial decision
on looks.
On looks. Period.
Girls don't do that. I mean, they know if a guy's attractive,
yeah,
they'll say, "Oh, he's so cute," that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, girls will usually they look a little deeper before they make a commitment. Guys will make a stone cold commitment right off of looks, just off the get go. Oh, she's gorgeous. Well, she might be gorgeous on the surface, but you take that surface away, she may be pretty ugly underneath.
Well, and how long does it take to find that out?
It just depends on the person.
Depends on the person.
Sometimes not very long, sometimes a little while. But, physical relationships don't last.
No, they don't. And I also think relationships where people are trying to hide things don't last. And that really is my whole beef. Honestly, whatever people do, they're going to do. Whatever. I can't control people.
Yeah, I can't either.
No, so my point is, if you want to do that, that's fine. But don't be surprised if the person you're seeing in the beginning is not the person you see 6, 8, 10 months from now. Because at some point, that becomes a daunting job once you obtain what you wanted. And I'm not talking about what people might think I'm talking about.
That might
about.
Be what they want.
Well, maybe.
At the same time, don't be surprised when, if it's a surface relationship based on mutual physical attraction, that it doesn't get very deep and it doesn't last very long. Because if that's all they're attracted to, what happens when all of a sudden those looks go away? All of a sudden you don't look so great. All of a sudden you put on 30 pounds. All of a sudden, you whatever the case may be. This is one of the reasons that this whole new sexual revolution we've had in this country in the last 50 years or so has really damaged relationships. And it because when you start out, you may be attracted in whatever way you're attracted, but when you start out with a physical first, you don't have to let the other part grow. And I think it's wonderful to get to know somebody without the strain and the stress of the other.
Have you ever noticed, because really what a relationship comes down to is common interest. At some point, you've got to have common interest, because if you don't, you're really going to have nothing. And have you ever noticed in the beginning of relationships, people doing things or going to events you know they have no interest in at all, could not care less about, but they're doing it to placate that other person?
Absolutely. And that's sad, too, because then all of a sudden, if you do take that relationship to another level and get married or whatever, and all of a sudden, I'm not going to car races with you. I hate those things. Well, wait a minute. You didn't have a problem when we were dating. And that's not fair. Isn't honesty always the best policy?
Well, it really is.
Be honest about who you are.
Well, and that's a whole other thing as well. I mean, church is a big one, too. A lot of times, people will either keep that hidden, that part of them, because they know that person has no interest.
That's really a mistake.
In going, yeah. Or they use it as a reason to not like somebody. Well, I'm not sure that you're as devout as I am, and I use this in my life to help me. Well, that's, how do you know? I mean, have you ever asked?
Well, that's just it. I think that, I encourage young people to do. If you have a girl that you're interested in, I'll tell the guys, or a girl is interested in a guy, and parents aren't sure whether you should date them or not, invite them to come to church with you one Sunday and see how it goes. If they want nothing to do with that, and they make it plain clear that they don't, maybe if it's as important as it should be in your life, maybe it's time not to go a different direction. I mean, because I remember one time I was talking to a couple that were going to get married, and they wanted to talk to me, and the parents wanted me to talk to them, and we were talking about this very thing. She said that they had decided that religion would not even come up in their marriage, wouldn't come up at all. She was totally basically an agnostic. She didn't want anything to do with anything. And this guy was a practicing Mormon, which, as you know, the practicing Mormons can be very, very locked into what they do mission-wise within their church and mission-wise and what they believe. And I said, are you guys going to be naive enough to think this isn't going to be part of your marriage? I said, what happens when you have kids together? And all of a sudden, dad wants these kids to come to church with him and do what he's doing, and mom wants you to do something else. You tell me there's not going to be an argument about it? I said, if you're so devout in what you believe, aren't you going to want your wife to be part of that, if it's that important to you? And, you know, and it's just people, don't fool yourself, you know.
You know, the other day, it's very interesting this is coming up. In the last week, I saw, it was a talk show that I was flipping through the channels one day. And the question came up, though, on the talk show, and it was women. Would you change your... that happens.
That's okay.
That happens. Would you change your religion if you really love somebody? Would you change your religion? And felt it was important to them?
Oh, that's interesting. I would hope not. I mean, honestly, if you truly believe what you believe, and if you're true, especially if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, that's it. I mean, you're locked in for life. That's something that is part of you, and you can't just change your... See, I think that's where people make a mistake. There's
if you're talking denomination.
Yeah, that's possible. If there's a huge difference between religion and Christianity, and most people don't understand that. Religion can be a lot of things. It can be Buddhism, Mormonism, Christianity, Catholicism, all kinds of different religions can be out there. But the difference between what we consider biblical Christianity is, it is an actual relationship with Jesus Christ that you have through accepting Jesus Christ. And it is a relational thing. It's not a religion. Many times will have certain practices and certain things that you do on a regular basis as part of that religion, that your certain tenets and things that you are required to do, and that keeps you in good standing with that religion or whoever you're worshiping within that religion, be it Allah, be it whoever, be it Buddha. There are certain things, practices you do. In Christianity, it's a personal relationship between you and God, and we're all individual in that relationship. In other words, it's the priesthood of all believers. In other words, everyone has that ability to have a direct line with God through Jesus Christ. So it's a personal relationship, and my relationship with Christ may not look exactly like Frank's. And Frank's may not look exactly like yours, and we may even practice differently in some things. We may take communion differently. We may baptize a little bit differently, and certain things. But it doesn't change the fact that who we are, and we're not going to lose who we are because of how we do. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. I guess then because the show I was watching, I don't think any of the people who gave an answer to that said they would. I think they all said they would not. And it's interesting because then the question became, well, then can you marry this person? Can you continue the relationship with them? If neither one of you is willing to change your...
Well, my plain and simple black and white answer to that is no. I mean, it's too big of an issue. It's too important. It's actually part of your life. You know, in biblical marriage, you know, it's where a husband leaves his wife, leaves his parents and cleaves to his wife, and vice versa, and the two become one flesh. How can you be one flesh with someone that believes completely different than you?
Well, and this becomes a big problem ultimately with relationships. Again, we all are different people. Nobody is the same person. So we all are going to have differences somewhere along the line. I guess
that's a big one.
Well, yeah, but I guess is how big are the differences? I think that piece just came unscrewed from the end. There is what happened. But I know these mic stands can be difficult sometimes. Mine fell apart over here at one point. But it's fascinating to me how that goes in life, because there are going to be differences, and when people lay this line like everything's perfect, that to me is sometimes the most... It's a day over there, isn't it?
Sorry, guys. The mic stand's falling apart, and Steve, the repairman, is trying to fix it. It's not working well. Now, go ahead, Scott.
We got all sidetracked there. No, that there are differences in all relationships along the line somewhere, and in the end, what we're really having to decide is, what are we willing to overlook and what are we not willing to overlook?
Well, some differences are personality, their minor likes, dislikes, and a lot of couples are very different but get along very well, but they better be on the same space spiritually if they're going to get along well. I mean, I believe that. I really believe they have to be on the same page spiritually for them to get along really well. And don't be discouraged if you're someone out there and you love God and you're walking with Him and you have a husband or a wife that's not. You know, the Bible's pretty clear about that. We're just to remain a very good example to them and pray that they come alongside. And hang in there. Hang in there. Keep praying. I've seen women that prayed for their husband for years with no movement, and all of a sudden they surrender their life to God, and they really start. It enhances their relationship. See, that's another thing, that when you are like-minded with somebody in that way, it enhances your relationship because you have one common foundation. You have one common denominator. When you know things are falling apart, you both go to God, and you go to God together. When you have things that, when you have a decision to make, whether it's to move or not, you know, you go to God together. You go to church together. You share in discussions together. And actually, the couples that I see that are very strong in that way are not the ones that are running around and looking for someone else because they're bored with their spouse. And if you look at marriages that stood the test of time, the 40, the 50, the 60-year marriages, many, many, many cases, I won't say all, but many, many, many cases, faith was a very deep part of that relationship. And, you know, if I truly put my money where my mouth is, I'm going to honor my wife. I'm going to realize that this is for the long haul, and it can be an easy haul or it can be a rough haul. And if I want it to be an easy haul, I need to lift her up, put her first, and do those things that make a marriage solid.
Well, you know, and not so as not to put this all on the man, though, what about the woman who never lets the guy see her without makeup? Never lets the guy see her without a hair out of place.
That's kind of weird.
Well, it happens, especially in the beginning.
I remember one lady, you guys are going to laugh at this, but that I brought this up, but that's okay. Life's life. I met a lady one time several years ago. She was there at our place on a mission trip, and this lady had, I don't know how the subject came up of her having false teeth, but she did. And she said she and her husband had been married like 45 years, and he had never one time seen her without her teeth. And I thought, how weird is that? You know, if you love someone, you love someone. Is that a song? But anyway, but no, the truth is that you're going to see people in all forms of ugliness. And it is ugly when someone's sick. And, you know, it is ugly sometimes in physically when someone has a disability that pops up or you know, we don't always look our best, and sometimes we look our worst, and loving someone transcends all those things that we think have to look so properly. I think that it's an insecurity for your husband, or is it not? Could it be a situation where you just want to look your best because you love them that much? You know, if that's the case, that you just really want to give them your best all the time, that's wonderful too.
I have known so many people, when an illness comes into a two-person relationship, it will kill the relationship. Now, nobody will ever admit that that's what did it, because that sounds very bad. Nobody wants to carry that burden and say, well, that ended because, you know, somebody got ill. But I knew very well, and God rest her soul, she ended up dying, but a woman who had cancer, and prior to the cancer, she had a husband, and they had kids together, several kids, a matter of fact, and her cancer came in, and I think she went into remission for a little, but it was breast cancer, and, before the end of her life, she was with another guy, and I believe they married because she knew the end was near, and she wanted to marry the second guy. But the first guy was completely out of her life. Now, I'm sure he's never going to say that this broke up because of her illness, but boy, timing's a weird thing.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I think people might admit that. It's interesting, we were talking about, you know, the makeup thing. My mom was a very strong, positive woman, and it showed that after my dad was killed when my mom was 39, he was killed in a car wreck, and her strength and independence and faith really came to the surface and showed after that point, you know. Not that she wasn't before, but it really showed. But I remember as a kid growing up that mom would do her thing all day, and, you know, she was a stay-at-home mom. But she had a lot of projects. She had a lot of neat things she did. She made a lot of money in her own little way on the side, which was actually a big way. But, you know, it was funny. Every day, when right about the time Dad was to come home from work, she'd go to the bathroom, and she would clean up and put her makeup on and look nice for him coming home. Now, she didn't do that because she was some poor, beaten-down, you know, woman, and he was a Neanderthal. She did that because she loved him, and she wanted her husband to come home to see this pretty, fresh wife when he came in the door. And I think that's admirable.
You know, isn't in the end what it all comes down to, whether it's dating, whether it's hanging out with each other, whether it's marriage, whatever it is, you have to be a happy person outside of that relationship. Now, not to say you can't have happy moments with that person that you remember very well, but you're going to have happy moments with your friends. You're going to have happy moments with your family. Those are moments. Essentially, you cannot depend on anybody else to make you happy because two things will happen. Number one, they will leave. And when they leave, then you're a wreck because you did put all your eggs in one basket there. Or you get bored with that person because they're no longer making you happy. They're not supposed. That's not their job.
That's not their job. I think what you miss in that whole thing, not you miss, but what people miss in that, is that it's not their job to make us happy. In a marriage, it's our job to make them happy. Now, think about that. If I want you to be happy and you want me to be happy, the outcome of that, it's going to give birth to happiness, right? If you got someone that wants to make you happy, it's not like I'm telling you, you need to make me happy. They decide, I love this person, and I want to make them happy. But see, if it works both ways, then everybody's getting what they want anyway. But if you're depending on that, there's a big difference between depending on someone to make you happy and that person wanting to make you happy. Two completely different things.
Well, and also I think people need to learn that alone and lonely are two different things.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And people don't understand that. If they find somebody who's not, with, you know, a lot of times they're just not dating anybody. A lot of times the husband or wife dies and they're just not with anybody anymore. Those people are alone. They're absolutely alone in their journey through life, I guess, but I don't know that they're lonely. They weren't dependent on that person for their happiness, so there's still other things in their life that make them completely happy, and that's hard for people to understand because most people, and it's a horrible thing to say, I bet 80% of society is driven by being in something. How long does it take when a relationship ends or a spouse dies for that person to be in something else? And not bad people at all.
I know that when my mom married my stepfather, my mom had been a widow. If I remember right, I think it was for like 15 years maybe she'd been a widow. But he had only been a widower for probably a couple months when he started dating her, and they were married within a year. I mean, he just could not be alone. Mom was lonely, but mom had certain standards of who she was going to. She wasn't just going to date for dating's sake.
Right.
And she did find a man that was very compatible, and they had a wonderful life together 20 years before he died. But, I think that a lot of people just don't want to be alone. And unfortunately, a lot of people are so lonely that they jump into a relationship that can be quite not what you expected it to be.
What is a sufficient amount of time to know that you're not getting in something just to get in it? When something ends,
I don't think it's a time factor. I think it's a standard factor. I think you have to decide that, look, this is what I need to see and what I want to see, and this is where I want this to be. And you could meet somebody at your wife's funeral that you hit it off and have coffee with, and before you know it, you know, that can happen. I don't think there's a time frame. Other people were so deeply in grief, they couldn't even think about that for 2 or 3 years. Everyone's wired so differently. And that's why religion doesn't work. What I mean by that is standard religion puts everybody in the same step pattern of everything they've got to do and everything they got to meet, but everyone's wired differently. That's what's so wonderful about a relationship with Christ, being he made us, he understands us, he understands how we're wired. And I'm not going to judge you for doing something a little different than I do. You know, I'll give you an example. We had a lady one time that wouldn't come to our church and even visit with a friend of hers that really wanted her to come. They were good friends. She just wanted her to come and visit with her and sit with her one Sunday. She goes, no, they don't say the Lord's Prayer exactly the way we do, and it's not proper, and I won't go in that place. Have you ever heard someone think something so absurd in your life? But see, that had been ingrained in her. Another one that I hear is that, oh, they don't use the King James Version. We're not going to that church because that's a heresy. What they don't understand is the King James is a version. How many times has the King James been updated and changed?
Oh, gee whiz, who knows?
Over and over. I mean, if you looked at the original King James from the
1600s, you couldn't even read it.
You couldn't even understand it. Well, you could, but it would be very, very difficult. So people find all kinds of things to make this work and this work and that. The thing is, we are all so different, and we got to recognize our differences. And here's a good one, Scott. Celebrate our differences. You know, I get a kick out of my wife being different than me in some areas. And, you know, there's fun things I snicker about. And trust me, she snickers a whole lot about me. Now, sometimes she snickers with a meat cleaver in her hand because she's ready to let me have it.
Or a gas mask.
But we were brought up differently, different families. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, we found a lot of common ground. Obviously, we will be married 46 years on our next anniversary. We found a lot of common ground and things we love. And we've grown together. See, that's the big thing, too. You've got to grow together.
And you have to have that will to love each other.
That will to love each other. And but yeah, there's a lot of areas where I'm very gregarious. I'm a people person, and my wife is very shy and reserved, and doesn't do well in crowds. Not matter of fact, not at all. I'll never forget the first time it really hit me. That hit me was we were dating, and I took her to church with me, and it was no big deal. I've been brought up in church my whole life, and I just walked in. I knew everybody. It's, you know, this is commonplace for me. And she walked in with me, and I mean, she literally, her fingernails were digging into my arm, holding on to me. And if I stepped more than a couple feet away to speak to someone, she was like petrified. And it was so obvious. And I saw that. It's the first time I saw that. It was like, wow, we've got some things to overcome here.
Well, yeah, and I think those differences are okay because I think that, again, nobody's personality is the same as somebody else. Nobody's exactly the same. The problem is when you are not letting that person know that you are different. Much like you said with the races early on, if you're going to the races and you really don't care at all about the races, but the other person thinks you do because you are, hey, I'm having a good time. And a lot of people will fool themselves into the idea. I've heard this a lot. Well, I don't enjoy the races, but I enjoy it because I'm with you. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know about that. Okay, so maybe they enjoy making their spouse or whoever happy. And that would be okay. You know, it's kind of like, I remember that, and women... women need to be heard, and that's just the way they're wired. They need to be heard, they need to be understood, but they don't need to be corrected. And what I mean by that is, men are fix-it people. We get to the bottom of things, well, just do this. It's simple, black and white, right? Well, when a woman starts venting to you, you better listen, because she needs to do that. She needs to get it off her chest, she needs to tell you what's going on, and she doesn't need you to jump right in and say, well, just do this. And that's where men want to be. Women need to be listened to. I remember when my wife was, and she still does. I mean, she is so busy in her outreach ministries that she does that, you know, she does unload on me a lot. But she'd come home from work every night, and I knew that I had at least 30 minutes of unloading and venting about the day. And I better listen. And I better, you know, and that's what I learned to do. But what was funny about that, and the difference is, if I came home and wanted to vent about my job and what I did, I get cut off because we're just different. And I think we have to recognize our differences. We are confusing this society so badly by trying to make everybody the same. We are not the same.
Well, and doesn't this come back to where this whole conversation started about dressing a certain way and looking a certain way? You cannot base anything in looks. So you better have
Something deeper.
Well, you better be able to talk to each other. You better have some common interest. And they better... The two problems are, as I have always seen them, looks and money. Looks and money. Because both of those things are superficial on the surface.
Absolutely.
And what are you going to... How are you going to... Yeah, but see, but they are deceitful and deceiving in a way, because they do work for a little while. They do work. If you're an unhappy, depressed person, yeah, that'll work. Sometimes it'll work for a while. It'll work for a year.
Yeah, it will. You'll feel great about something. I talk about the pseudo-rich. You know, the pseudo-rich are those that go out of their way to drive the car that makes them look rich, buy the most expensive clothes, and they don't have two nickels to rub together. And it's like, why are you doing this? Why can't you just enjoy life and live within your means? You know, when we go, it never fails. When we go, you remember growing up as a kid and going to the fair, and you still go to the fair, and you do a show at the fair. People like to advertise how they want to be seen on the midway. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, they dress the way, check me out, this is, they're going to wear, back in my day, they were going to wear their best concert t-shirt. The coolest concert they've been to, that's what was going down the midway. You know, and you see that. Well, back to this 4th of July thing. You know, you're free to wear anything you want. That's you. Like I said, we're all individuals. What I was getting at initially was, have a little self-respect in the process.
You know what? I have an interesting story to tell, and hopefully the person is not listening or doesn't get that I'm talking about them, I'm going to tell this story about.
10 people are going to think you're talking about
exactly right now. Well, you know what? Every time I talk about anything on this show and don't use a name,
being a pastor,
I'm talking about that person, and I'm really not, except the person who stole the flower pot, because if I ever find that person, there's going to be trouble. But anyway,
now they're going to be afraid to tell you. No, there's no problem.
I know. Well, hey, you know, we got to do it all at some point.
So I'm a felon, huh?
We got ever 30 days in jail, and you'll be fine. You'll be reformed. But no, the other day, and this is a married couple, and I'm not even sure the intention again. But see, this is the problem with social media. I'm not sure the intention was this, but this is how it came off. The wife was, I don't really know what she was doing, to be honest with you, but she had her back to the husband. And the husband took a picture of her backside. Now, it wasn't just her rear end, but you could see her end, and you could see her. Okay, so I don't even remember what the caption was, but if you're just scrolling through Facebook or social media, which is what people are doing, you see that a husband has posted his wife's rear end on there, and. You know, that...
this person's going to know who you're talking
about. I'll never hear from him again. But the whole thing is that, to me, I don't think the intention was that, but I think it's, look at my wife. I don't think they would have done that if the wife had been 400 pounds.
Let me tell you something. What self-respecting man, or any man that has respect for his wife, wants to have other men looking at his wife? I think that's horrible. I just think, you know, your wife and everything private and beautiful about her is meant for you.
Right.
And your husband and everything wonderful and private about him is meant for you. Keep private things private, especially that side of life. I've never understood men that wanted to strut around with their wife on their arm, showing every thing she's been endowed with. I don't understand that. And then they get mad because some guy's checking her wife out and it starts a fight. I think, are you an idiot? You know, I mean, that's bound to happen. That's a natural cause that's going to happen. And why put other men in that position? You see what I mean?
Isn't that wouldn't that be uncomfortable, though, for the wife as well, even if the husband didn't mean it that way?
In today's society, I mean, it's just been so promoted. You know, I'll tell you a funny story real quick. We got to get up there for too long. But a friend of mine, he was one of my seminary teachers, and he'd been a pastor also before, and he was a teacher instructor, and doctor, here goes my mind. You know, I'm getting old. Anyway.
Why look at me?
He said he was in a pulpit one Sunday, and he said, after church started, this woman came in, and she was attractive and very scantily dressed, and she turned down the aisle, and she walked all the way down the side of the front, across the front, and sat down. And he said he glanced over at her. When he saw her, he saw how she was dressed and immediately turned away and did not look again. But he said he watched almost every man in that congregation's eyes follow her all the way down the aisle, all the way to her seat and sit down. Why? They're wired that way. But somebody came up to him after the service and they said, listen, you showed me something very respectful today. He said every man in that church was looking at that woman and you turned away because it wasn't the proper thing to do. And he said, and they said, I appreciate that. And David Wheeler, that's who the teacher was. But anyway, my point being, if you think that people aren't going to, why are you doing that? Why do you want to put someone in that position? Does it help your self-esteem? Because honestly, for people to see the beautiful person you are without that is far more important. You know, beauty is, what do they say, beauty skin deep? Mm-hmm. And it's true, but true beauty, you know, lasts all the way through. You know, you can marry the most attractive man or woman in the world. And if they're ugly inside, they're going to get ugly on the surface too.
But you know, I mean, I can honestly say in my life of not being married and being around women over the years, I can never remember looking at somebody and making a decision about, because it's a big part of your life when you're in a relationship with somebody. I don't ever remember thinking, well, that's the right person because they're very good looking.
I can. And I'll tell you, I had a girlfriend when I was a teenager, a younger teenager. And anyway, I remember when things didn't end so well, I was just horribly broken because I think it was because she was very attractive, and every guy wanted to date this girl. And I think I was almost jealous about how attractive she was because there was really nothing very deep with her. I'm not sure the lights were on. But anyway, since that time throughout her life, she's been married multiple times and just been a mess. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, for me dodging that bullet. But yeah, I was attracted to that girl. I know it had to be 100% physical.
Well, when you look, and again, not that people can't change. I don't know. I'm still, we did a whole show on that, and I'm still conflicted on that in a way. Because I believe at some point you get a sense of who you are when you're very young. Now, circumstances can change. That'll change decisions you're making. You know, sometimes you're making more money, sometimes you're making less, sometimes you're living here, sometimes you're living there, sometimes these people are alive or not. But I don't think your personality, what makes you cry, what makes you laugh, what makes you happy, what makes you sad, I don't think that changes a whole lot over time.
It doesn't, Scott.
Right. So, based on that, if people don't change that inner part of themselves, I don't really know that on the long haul that... If you look at somebody's track record, and I hate to say that, but that's really what we're looking at in life. As you get along in life, if you look back at somebody's relationship track record, you really should pay attention to that when you get in a relationship with them.
Oh, absolutely. Because
what was going on there?
I think the thing, Scott, is that, like you said, those things that don't change, that's why it's so important to get to know somebody and know those things and know those are okay with you before you get into the deep physical side of it. So you understand?
Exactly. But it's amazing to me because let's say you get to be, let's just say middle life, let's say 50. You're 50. You're right in the middle. You're going to live to be 100 and you're 50 years old. And you meet somebody else who's 50, and you look back at that other person's 50 years, and you see nothing but relationship, 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 end.
I could tell you to run.
Because you are going to be on that list, too, no matter how much they tell you they're great. They probably told them the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, yeah.
Because people's makeup doesn't change.
Told them the same lie.
Yeah.
Hey, it's been a great show.
We got about a minute and a half. 4th of July coming up.
Yes, you know what? And celebrate this wonderful country we have. Guys, whether you like them or not, get out there and vote. You know, vote the commies out. No, but you know what I'm saying is, don't vote for these people that are just in there for themselves. Well, I guess that's all of them. Not all of them, but I'll tell you, it's very discouraging. I think we need to stand up for the America that we knew and loved when I was growing up. The people that loved this country and loved each other. Look, guys, love God, love one another, and have a wonderful 4th of July. We'd love to see you at Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Our phone number is 740-494-2222. And our service is at 10:30 in the morning. And I want to announce we started a Sunday evening service at 6:30. Regular service at 6:30, just like the morning service. A little different, only because it probably won't be as well attended, I'm sure. But give those people an opportunity that don't get it to come on Sunday morning, to come on Sunday evening at 6:30, and it will be done by 7:30. We ended up at 7:20 last week, mm-hmm. So it's a shorter service. And anyway, love to have you come.
Absolutely, and remember this show is live every Friday morning, 9:15 until 10 a.m., repeat Sunday morning, 8:10 until 9 a.m., and Wednesday and Thursday afternoon, 3:10 to 4 p.m., or check out the website, WWGH1071.com. First show under Program Archives, or go to Facebook within the next 24 hours, and the show will be there for you to listen to. Have a wonderful 4th of July. I'll be back in about 10 minutes, and Pastor, have a great 4th.
You too. God bless you guys.
Listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. From legendary comedian Orson Bean singing the Baloney Song.
Two Irishmen and a Hebrew once went out for recreation, and they took enough provisions along to spend a week's vacation, but they got lost.